Hey, man. Grab me two of them tissues while you're down there, too, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. It's perfect. Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
I had a 20-minute sermon on my heart, but now that I got me a stool, I may stay all night. Y'all want to? Somebody call Uber and order a pizza. Hallelujah. I feel like Charles Stanley up here. That's kind of good. Kind of bad. Kind of good. Hadn't the Lord been really good to us?
Amen.
I bless His name. I've had some diabetes issues with my feet. And I see Brother Lancaster wearing special shoes and moving slow. You know how you don't see anything until you got one? Me and Jennifer got a gray silver vehicle few years ago, and they said gray's most popular number, that metallic gray. I'd never seen one until we got one, and then every other vehicle was. Yeah. Now I'm seeing everybody wearing the special shoes. I'd have never noticed it, Brother Lancaster, until mine are falling off. If I can find some titanium feet, I'm going to cut these off and get me the... You old timers remember the $60 million man? We need to get in the dumpster and find some of them used parts. Be fine with me. Won't scare me to have robot feet. Hallelujah. No, I'm not doing near as bad as I'm going to let on now. I look for sympathy. Hallelujah. It's good to see Brother Wesley and Sister Becky back tonight. Thank you.
Amen.
It's great to be in here with the Lancasters. They lift my spirit.
Yes, sir.
When all of y'all come with the pastor next year, some of you came, Brother James. I don't see Brother James tonight. He ain't doing good. Well, he came to the meet. That brother over there, he's falling apart too. Brother James came with the pastor last February. And February 26th, won't y'all come to Rome, Georgia? Next year, it's a long ways off, but mark it on your calendar. Brother Lancaster, y'all mark that down if you can and consider yourself booked. We're not getting out any big offerings, but we'll try to pay for your gas and give you some cornbread. And then we'll make sure we do what we need to for evangelists, I'm telling you. And that, I appreciate the Lancaster family. Boy, what a blessing. We give the pastors offers, but we ask them first how much their weekly salary is. Come on now. Hallelujah. See if the church paid for the trip or not. But I bless the Lord. I got a burden on my heart tonight. And if you want to look at Ephesians 2 and Philippians 1, I will not be there. That'd be a good place for y'all to go. And I'll be launching out of there, and I'll be in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. But you can look at two verses, and I believe it's Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
What a promise.
Yes, sir.
And then flip over to Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Just a page in your Bible. Amen. Well, now more verses are coming to mind. Ephesians 2, 10. Is that the verse that says, for we are His workmanship,
yes, sir,
created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And then finish that verse. I think I know what it said, but I'm not sure.
Which God hath before ordained.
I thought that's what it said, but which God hath before ordained You ain't got to be a Calvinist to believe that.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And don't let the Calvinists tell you you don't believe that.
Yeah. Right.
And I got news for you. It's a damnable heresy to suggest to any man that Jesus maybe did not die for him.
Amen.
That's just flat out heresy.
Amen. That's right.
That's as much of a work of Satan as anything has ever been a work of Satan.
Amen.
And I understand half our generation, half the preachers, good men, a lot of good men, are caught up in the mysteries there of Calvinism. But if you look at your Bible, it's not a mystery.
Right.
It's only a mystery when you read all the other books. They get you muddled up. And I know one thing, the gospel's not a fraud.
Right.
Your New Testament said, whosoever will, at least five times. That's what it meant.
Amen.
And it's not whosoever will, and then later on, well, we just had to tell you that because he really didn't die for everybody. But if you got saved, then that was you. And so I love Ephesians 1 and 2, and it don't scare me to get in there.
Right.
Predestination. Somebody write this down. Brother Lancaster, this came to me a week ago. And I've never heard it said any better, or maybe it's just because it made sense to me. Predestination is not a damnation on sinners.
Right.
It's a blessing for saints.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Right.
What about that? If you can take the doctrine of predestination and make that a damnation for sinners, when all it is, it's a blessing for saints. Guess what? If you will get saved, he will reprogram your whole system and set your GPS, and there will be a destination.
Amen.
And he has a self-driving car. You can lay back and take a nap. I got an aggravating self-driving car. I got a 2018 GMC Yukon, and it does the self-driving, and it has the stay in the lanes. But when I let go of the wheel and try to take a nap, because I ain't scared of heaven, folks. I'm telling you, I trust the Lord. He ain't going to let me die till I'm supposed to.
Right.
And I need to be more scared, but I ain't. I set that thing and leaned back and stretched, got a Diet Coke, wrote a sermon, you know, and petted the family cat and that thing. And it only gave you 15 seconds. Bing, 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 bing. Take the steering wheel. And it's a woman's voice telling me how to drive. Man, I can't. If I knew how to program that, I'd put it on male chauvinist mode. It'd be some man's voice. Hey. Thank you, sir. Thank you. That was easy. See? But oh, the Lord, thank God, he takes over our life by grace. Are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God.
Amen.
For we are his workmanship.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's taking his time.
Yeah.
I've got to be in Italy and Greece, and don't be impressed that I've only been to Rome and Athens. And we're independent Baptists. We can't afford to leave the town limits on a mission trip. We, you know, just catch a taxi 5 minutes away. But, and see them sculptors. And just the only reason I was there is on my way to the mission field, Albania. And you go in there and see the works of Da Vinci and DiCaprio and all of the great sculptors. Of course, now we've got the internet, and they'll show you those things. They say it takes just a few minutes when it gets a chunk of marble. Takes just a few minutes with a hammer to knock off the chunks. Then it takes years for the details. A little chisel. Bless the Lord. About the time he saved you, he knocked off a whole bunch of big chunks the first 2 months.
Right.
Within 4 months, there's whole chunks gone. You didn't look like a marble slab anymore. You look like a saved man.
Yeah.
But then he'll take years.
Right.
To chisel.
Good preacher.
Amen. Oh, dear time. Now, I want to look at that tonight. Let's don't leave Galatians out. Galatians 6. Find the scripture which says, but a new creature. Is that in Galatians 6 or Galatians 5? I feel like it's Galatians 6. But a new creature. I can't leave Genesis. I'll preach another half hour. Where is that in? Maybe chapter 4. I love how Paul dealt with that. Does anybody find it? Some of you old timers, pull out your Strong's Concordance. And you youngins, open up your Bible app. 6:15. It took y'all that long to read Galatians 6. Well, we are in South Carolina, ain't we? I'm just picking on whoever said that. Look in Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What about that? God saves you, makes you a new creature. And he does a new work. And all that circumcision, uncircumcision, it don't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. And to break that down for me, it don't matter if you was raised in church. Break it down for our generation. Raised in the projects. A crack baby. Don't matter where you come from, you got to get saved. It's got to be a new creature. Thank God. And then he'll begin a good work in you. And he'll perform it. The performance is all his. And I believe it's Philippians 2 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But thank God you don't work it in. You can only work out something that he's already worked in. And then over there we went to Ephesians. I guess I left Colossians out. But well, let's get a little Colossians verse in here while we're talking about these promises. We've had Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Look at Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek. You know the Christian life is an adventure. You ever notice these old saints have more life and laughter than teenagers in America? Even when they don't feel good, even when their health is gone. I'm going to say it again. Did you notice the old saints that are full of joy and love and laughter and enjoy something as simple as the morning? And all the young people in America got every pleasure the world could ever come up with, and they're all miserable and tired and moaning. They're all groaning and all miserable. And all hooked on meds, trying to get going, trying to get stopped, trying to this and that. I'm not making fun of you if that's a problem. It's a real problem in our churches. But oh, I got news for you. That real joy and real love, you get younger as you get closer to eternity.
Yeah, amen.
Y'all understand, once you get saved, you move from death to life. Yes, Brother Lancaster, don't you think about it. The closer you get to eternity, the younger you get. Your body gets older, but your spirit gets younger. And you step on the other side, stand on that sea of glass, and it's perfect time and perfect temperature, and you're breathing in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You enter into an eternalness. These teenagers and young college kids, and I feel sorry for them in our nation. They're all tired. They're all miserable.
Right.
They're all in sin, and it's draining them.
Right.
The joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
It's your strength. Seek. It's an adventure. The minute you get saved, the Lord starts you on a journey. Yeah. Seek. Those things. Now, what does it mean when you have to take your glasses off so you can read? What does that mean? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are what? That's why you feel so good, saved people. You're already dead. You is the only real problem you'd ever have. If you'd take that shovel from last night and bury some things, God will let you get acquainted with Him.
Amen.
It's always through a death that you enter in.
Right.
Joe Parsons talking about baptism. Baptism's a death and a burial.
Yes, sir.
He said every time God's people had a baptism in the Scriptures, they walked into a new country. Every time they walked down in the death waters and come up on the other side somewhere, God changed their worlds.
Yes.
What about that? She that liveth in pleasure is what? She's dead while she liveth. But if she'll die, then she can live.
Amen.
You're dead. Now something interesting in verse 5. For you're dead. And verse 5 says, mortify therefore. Isn't that interesting? Your members, which are upon the earth. It mentions fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Yes, sir.
And on and on. And also put off these in verse 8. I mean, them outward wicked sins, but here these inward wicked sins. Verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, and so on and so forth. Now, in my Bible, I got it underlined, for ye are dead.
Yes, sir.
And two verses later, mortify therefore.
Right.
That mortify is the same word mortician.
Right.
It means to put to death. To kill it. Isn't that interesting? He said, you're dead, so I need you to kill some things. There's that positional truth. It's all in Ephesians 1. It's all in Colossians 1, 2, and 3. We are dead and in Christ, and we've been raised to walk in His newness of life.
Right.
Because we are dead and a new creature resurrected in Christ, we need to kill our members. Isn't that something? You wouldn't think a dead man need to kill anything about himself.
Sure. Right.
That's positional truth. Now, those are wonderful scriptures, and the Lord put them in my heart. Now go to Genesis 1. I'll show you one more. Genesis 1. In my Charles Stanley high chair. I like this thing. If y'all will bring me a little tray afterwards, somebody get some Uber Eats. You have to have somebody under age 20 to know how to order that. Chapter 1, what verse says, and he made the stars also. It's in the middle of the chapter. What verse is it? Y'all can't start in verse 1 now. It takes y'all too long to read here in South Carolina. Verse 16, Pastor redeemed all of you. You better be glad. That poor lady was afraid to speak up again. Look at there. And he made the stars also. God gave you 5 words to talk to you about outer space. He just don't care.
Sure.
It ain't a big deal to him.
Right.
Our generation's obsessed with looking through telescopes into outer space.
Right.
And they're obsessed with looking through microscopes into the invisible world. And they're looking up there to find a father, and they're looking down in through there to find their mother because they don't believe Genesis chapter 1.
You're right.
They're trying to figure out where we came from, and what they're staring at is where we're going.
Right.
You take me to Waffle House and I'll tell you where all I disagree with NASA. I won't go no further right there. I was born in 1969. That's the year that man walked on the movie set of Area 51. So now leave me alone. Yes, indeed. Had to beat the Russians. Whatever it takes. Amen. Our movie set's better than their movie set. China's been on Mars. They have a terrible movie set. I mean, good heaven, a 10-year-old. Size up in that 100-year-old library. Nobody even been up there, and I was going to borrow some books. Then my conscience wouldn't let me. I don't even think it was the Lord. It was my conscience. I think I could have took 20 books, and the Lord had been fine. It was just my conscience. It was, man, I wish it wasn't there sometimes. I found a little old booklet by Mays Jackson, preaching in 1962. On that modern day Tower of Babel, the space program. He said it was the modern day Tower of Babel. And found several old timers preaching along that line. And they knew it. They knew it. And all the movies started coming out and the obsession with UFOs and aliens. And oh dear time. Honey, this outfit now. Television, every other shows about outer space and aliens and monsters and superheroes, every other Hollywood movie, if it ain't about a vampire and a witch, and it all, every one of them full of naked fornicators, it's an abomination from hell. It's Hollywood, it sure is. And can't even watch Atlanta Braves beer commercials. And I'm telling you, there ain't nothing on there worth looking at. Can't even look at Fox News. They turned into CNN. I try looking at the National Geographic, and it's all evolution. And they believe NASA. Can't even get nothing out of that. And, oh, dear time, they're obsessed. Rich men are looking for eternal life. They're looking in the microscope to find something that'll help them to not die. And they're looking up yonder for secrets and mysteries. Something that'll help them not to die. They're looking for eternal life. They're trying to find it in science. Falsely so-called. Oh, that's the quest of our age. Elon Musk. I don't know. I liked him until I got scared of him. If he's going to own the communications and the transportation and the outer space, and then his mama, you need to look at her and see what kind of Satan worshiping pagan she is. And then I read the old Bible teacher many years, and he said this 60 years ago when the Antichrist come. He said X marks the spot. That's what he's named Twitter, the most powerful communication tool. It's even got more bigger than Facebook. Everybody's great uncle and grandma moved on to Facebook, and so this generation moved off. They didn't want their older relatives watching them sin. They couldn't enjoy putting their sin on there. And now Facebook's where old people visit with each other. Hey, wasn't this grandma's car when she was 12? It was. I got a picture of that. Amen. I think I can get on Facebook now if the preachers are quit fussing. The sinners went somewhere else, but now the preachers are all fussing. I can't handle it. I can't handle 5 seconds because I get mad. And I think of 20 good things to say back, and I cannot sleep at night wishing I would say it. I was on Facebook one time 12 years ago. I was on it for about 10 minutes. I split 3 churches, lost 20 meetings, messed up the family reunion for the next 4 years, and Jennifer banished me. You're off Facebook. Again, it wasn't the Lord or my conscience. It was my wife that time. You're off Facebook. You're too ornery. And I said, I know it. Don't let me see it. Y'all think I'm making this up? And I want her on there. She handles it real good, and everybody who'd be a problem has done blocked her because she's my wife. We've been blocked by 100,000 people. She said, who is this that hates us? I said, don't worry about it. Long list. You'll be fine. If you don't know them, it ain't going to hurt your feelings, baby. And so we have the right kind of friends on there because there's only 17 people that had not blocked us on Facebook. And she puts verses and she puts pictures of flowers and pictures of our kids. She puts our family on there. And when I go into churches, a lot of ladies say, "Hey, I'm friends with your wife, and I see your kids," and that's it means a lot to me. And I need some women to know I have a wife. I mean, they see all of this, you know, they just can't handle themselves. I've had a real woman problem in church, but every one of them was over the age 68. It's never been an issue. And that's the truth. Oh, that is the truth. I can tell you some stories. But the old writer said, X! And he warned us. And he died before Elon Musk named it X. Going to put that computer chip in your head. Program you to think right about homosexuals. Politically correct. Oh, yeah. And old Musk named it all X. X marks the spot. The old Bible teacher taught us everything that ends in X is probably bad. Hex. Hoax. Jinx. Sphinx. There's not many words that end in X, but if you go look at them, and pardon me, Pastor, even sex, and just loaded, dangerous words. And the old Bible teacher said, X is going to mark the spot one day, and then he died.
Yeah.
And they changed the most powerful communication tool on the face of this earth. Musk bought it and changed its name to X, and he said, X marks the spot. Yeah. I didn't grow up around too many preachers, folks. This generation is trying to figure out how to live forever.
Yeah, right.
They're looking for the answer in all the wrong places. Just lead me to Calvary.
Amen.
It's where eternal life. Eternal life. I'm going to get to my sermon here in a minute. I can see that clock. I'm going to get to my sermon in a minute. What did the rich young ruler? Singing that old hymn. Did ever saint find this friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. And that's right. There's never been, watch this, a repentant sinner.
Right.
That's right.
That he would not take.
Amen.
And somebody threw that in my face and said, well, the rich young ruler came running to Jesus and fell at his feet, and Jesus wouldn't save him. And you can win an argument with me in the first day or two, but give me a week. That was my problem with Facebook. It took me a week to figure out what to say. They had all moved on, and I'd restart the fight. Hey, y'all, you remember what you said? I tell you right now. I mean, I'll tell you right later. I win all my arguments. Just sometimes the other guy's not even there no more. He's gone in another town, but I still win every time. Rich young ruler, somebody said. He came to Jesus. Jesus wouldn't save him. So I had to go look at the scripture and see if y'all know your Bible. Did the rich young ruler say, what must I do to be saved? Does anybody remember how to quote it? Go ahead. Yes, sir. He used the word do. What must I do? And he wasn't looking for salvation. He was looking for what all rich men look for. How can I live forever?
Right.
He didn't say one word about his sin, one word about his soul. What must I do to inherit eternal life?
Yes, sir.
And rich men think that you inherit it.
Sure.
What must I do to inherit eternal life? I promise you, when the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Yeah. Didn't nobody say, go sell everything.
Right.
He asked the right question. He got the right answer.
Yeah.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And some of our guys who swing in the other pendulum away from Calvinism, they get into Arminianism, and they'll try to take that text and say there's no repentance until after you say.
Right.
They use that verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they'll say there's no repentance mentioned. Well, dear time, read the whole Bible, egg brain. I was trying to think of an ugly word that wasn't too ugly. Not head. Read the old boy's on his knees weeping.
Right.
He can't see repentance.
Yeah.
He was so moved by God's people. I'm putting this stool in my back pocket and taking it with me. Oh my. Can I give you six things? All that was introduction. What I meant to say out of Genesis 1:16 is God took five words to tell you how he made the stars. And he took 66 books to tell you how he makes saints. He is not impressed with his stars. God has never looked down here and seen anything in our world that he thought was large. He's got the whole world.
Yes, sir.
The old soul choir said, in the palm of his hand. He's got the whole wide world.
Yeah.
Amen. He set them in their place and he called them by their name. And and I can tell you why they're all in the same place. That North Star ain't never moved. See me at Waffle House at midnight. It's going to give you indigestion. But anyhow, I was born the year that man walked right onto the movie set. Oh, dear time. Can I give you six things? Thank God. He's making saints. He's making servants. He makes us all to be conformed to the image of His Son. Okay, I've been up here a good 30 minutes. Let me close the sermon out now that I've come to it with another 20 minutes. That wasn't a promise, that was a suggestion. No, I think I can do this in 15 minutes. Can I run this by you? Let's look at some of the saints. We'll look at Abraham. We'll look at Isaac. We'll look at Eliezer. We'll look at Moses, Aaron, and Joshua. Let me see if I can give this to y'all quickly. I don't need to belabor anything. The Holy Ghost doesn't want to belabor. I really enjoyed my introduction tonight. It's the stool. I need crouch. Can you steal this while they ain't looking on the way up? Genesis 12. And I'm not even going to turn there. Y'all know the scripture. You can turn there and look if you want to. Can I give y'all 6 points? I see a lot of you taking notes, and I want you to get it in your hearts. Abraham. That was a man that God brought out. Brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. Brought him out of the world. Called him out for his own purpose. Isaac. That was a man that God brought up. Raised him up to be a type of the Lord Jesus. Raised him up in that godly home to lay him on an altar. Brought him up to carry the seed. Galatians said that Isaac was really Christ. To carry the seed, the type of Christ. Eliezer, he jumped in my sermon somehow. He's not a main character in the Old Testament, but boy, he's kind of a hidden feller, kind of a quiet feller, kind of a behind the scenes feller. He's a type of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Woo! Eliezer, he was a man that was brought to. God took him on a journey in Genesis 24 and brought him to Rebekah.
Yeah, that's right.
Brought him to the bride. So in Genesis 12, Abraham was a man that was brought out. In Genesis 22, Isaac was a man that was brought up. Genesis 24, Eliezer was that man that was brought to. Number 4 in the book of Exodus, Moses was a man that was brought through. Brought through. God took him through the wilderness. God took him through the Nile River with the crocodiles. God brought that man through. in Leviticus, Aaron is a man that was brought in. He was brought all the way in to the Holy of Holies. Can I get a witness? Oh, and if we could set up the tabernacle tonight and walk through those three levels and all those pieces of furniture. Aaron was a man that was brought in. And then number six tonight, Joshua. Joshua. And I believe this concludes the Pentateuch, doesn't it? I skipped Numbers, but that's where Moses went through the wilderness. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is just the last words of Moses, and then Moses died, and the thing walked out of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and it went to Joshua. And Joshua was a man that was brought over. He's a man who made a crossing. He was a man that was brought over to the other side. Can I comment on these things for a little bit? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't feel as bad as I look. I just try not to injure myself. Abraham. Let's talk about it. See if we can rejoice over it. Abraham is a man that God brought out. I'm going to ask y'all all six of these times. Aren't you glad he come down in that heathen world and brought you out?
Sure. Amen.
And he had to save church kids too.
That's right.
We may not have been in sins, but we were in sin.
Sure.
Didn't matter if we were circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Gentile, Baptist or crackheads. Amen. Raised in the church or raised in the bar. There have been more church kids went to hell. There's as many pitfalls in church as there is in the world. They're sins of the heart. Easier to deceive and harder to identify.
Right.
Oh, heavens. I'm glad he brought me out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to go to the second point, but I'm glad he brought me out.
Amen.
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 My daddy got saved and went everywhere in America except where he lived. Never would go home. They kind of thought, we buried him in September, preached 58 years nearly, married the mom, 2 weeks shy of 58 years. And that's some of that joy I was telling you about. Pray for my mother. She's grieving. She's very strong. She's very spiritual. But she's in mourning. Pray for her. I know the Lord will help her. And there's nothing alarming going on. You know, I don't want you to think that. But, oh, she said, Brother Lancaster, first time in 77 years she's ever been by herself. Raised with her mom and dad and siblings. Oh, they were all younger. Married dead. Her daddy was a preacher. Her husband was a preacher. And so it's always been a good home. Always been a godly home. Well, that makes home precious, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, sir.
And a week after she realized, she told me, says, it's the first time in 77 years I've ever spent an evening by myself. She lives 1 hour from me, and we just can't remedy that. And I and everybody else is in different states. We're all in the ministry. And boy, it rained. Rained about 10 days. And then we'd had some ice and snow, and she got stuck in that thing. 9 days, snowed in, iced in. Had an awful hard time. Oh, don't you know that the finish line's going to be that much more sweeter?
Amen.
Step over to the other side.
Yes, sir.
He's bringing our loved ones with him. I'm glad I got brought out.
Amen.
Dad never would minister there in the home, North Georgia. I'm the only child that lives there. I left when I was 2, didn't come back till I was 30. God put me back in our home place. And going up and down Rossville Boulevard, I've preached at Temple Baptist, and I've preached at People's Baptist, and I've preached at Memorial Baptist, and I've preached at Liberty Baptist, and I've preached at Old Fort Baptist, and I've preached at Victory Baptist, and I could keep going there, Chattanooga, that side of Chattanooga, that west side, Rossville Boulevard, goes for miles. And my uncle rode me down through there one time and said, half our life, this is where we used to have to come find dead. He'd be in a harlot motel, be in a roach motel, be in a crack motel. Of course, back in those days, there wasn't crack. It's whiskey. Back in those days. And said he'd, and my uncle, Dad never would talk about it. My uncle told me, said two of his teeth would be kicked out, and I'm not trying to be gross, but this is just sin. Said maggots be growing in his beard where the vomit set up in his beard. He'd be passed out in whiskey, robbed and beaten. Said this is where we'd have to come find him. And this is where a lot of our hell happened. And these bars, and it's where he started another family, unbeknownst to anybody, for years. Sin's a horrible thing, do you know it? I don't like fellas that run around talking about the old life of sin like they miss it.
Right, yes, sir.
And then like it makes them macho. Sin don't make you macho, sin makes you stupid. And being macho is stupid.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Being masculine is a God-given thing, but being macho is stupid.
Right. Amen.
Jesus never would. Jesus never told the disciples, I'm the alpha male here.
Right.
I don't like that attitude. It gets in our independent badness.
Sure.
I'll call you out in the backyard and fist fight you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
That spirit ain't right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My dad never would talk about it. That was our life. What does the song say? Until Jesus stepped in.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Until Jesus stepped in. That's a fairly new song the young people sang. Oh, thank God. And where they used to have to go get my grandpa, they called me to come back down in there and preach.
Yeah.
You better believe I cruise slow down through there and I tell the devil every bad thing I can think of. You lost us.
Yeah.
You jack-o'-lantern, you lost us.
Right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You crooked serpent, hell-bound Leviathan, you lost us. You can't get us. You're not going to get us back. Jesus saved us.
Amen.
I'm glad he brought me out.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I was brought up. Isaac was brought up. Thank God. He's brought up around an altar and brought up around a trail that was called God's will. Where are we going now? The next place God leads us. Brought up to laid on an altar.
Amen.
Thank God. Dug wells.
Yeah.
Genesis 26 is Isaac's chapter. All he ever did was dig wells.
Amen.
Never left the boundaries of the Holy Land. He never was seen outside the Holy Land. Never was a prodigal. Hallelujah. Never fought a battle. When the Philistines come to get one of his well,
oh, yeah.
I heard R.B. Ouellette say, and I usually won't listen to a Yankee, but I make exceptions. Ouellette said, and Isaac told him, you can have my well, but you can't have my water.
Amen. Yeah.
I'll go down the road and dig another well.
Right.
I heard Dana Williams preach on that when Isaac come to the end, all the enemies came back and bowed before him in the land. And they made it, and they were afraid of him militarily. The fear of God got on them. They came and bowed, and he got all his wells back. Never fought for one of them.
Yeah.
Do y'all know in the millennial reign, all the nations are going to bow before Israel? And you know everything that you ever lost for his sake, you're getting it back 100-fold.
Amen.
I'm glad I was brought up.
Yes.
Thank God. Old Brother Caldwell. Boy, I'm telling you. I appreciate so much his life and what he left us. Oh, it's wonderful. And I love his children, grandchildren. How they were brought up. Brought up. And I know God's changing gears. One of the greatest things you'll ever do is let the Lord bury something so he can birth something. You try to hang on to something and you'll kill it. You'll kill it hanging on to it. But if you'll let God bury it, you'll always remember it. And he'll give you something new. I love that Isaac was brought up. The Lancaster boys have had this. I had it in my life. The Crouch, them three Crouch boys, y'all don't know them, but they had that. Brought up on the altars. You know when I think Isaac got saved? Do you reckon Isaac got saved about the time God saved him? Don't let John Carl get a hold of this. We'll have another song. You write it. Don't let it John Carl write it. That's a good voice too. You don't hear that boy much. Boy, I like that tenor voice. Spoke right to my heart. Amen, son. Thank y'all for honoring your father and your mother. That's called being brought up right. I think Isaac got saved about the moment God saved his life. You reckon God saved his soul about the minute he saved his life? He was laying on an altar. They were going to put that fire under him. And that knife was over him. And he was obeying his daddy. But an angel caught his hand, pulled it back, and Isaac looked past Abraham. He looked past the daddy and saw his father.
Amen.
I'm about to run out that side window and go right through it with my diabetes feet. I'm taking that stool with me and I ain't coming back. Woo! You reckon God saved him while he was laying at Calvary?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I'm gonna reckon that'd be a good time to get saved when you're laying on the altar looking at the Father and you're and there's a lamb with a crown of thorns on his head right next to you. Oh, it'd be a good time to get saved.
Sir.
I believe that's when he got saved. He said, I don't believe that. You probably think 1969 happened. Well, let's close this tonight. Thank God Eliezer was brought to. I love Genesis 24. You know, that's where I'm going to say this, and I know it's just us, but I expect y'all to act quite religious. We need a soul choir, some floppy hats, a washboard, an organ. I need a little help on this. Y'all remember Genesis 24? I'm going to have to do my own. I can tell y'all are so white. It's very pathetic. Oh, y'all remember when the father sent the servant to get a bride for the son?
Right, right. Amen.
Oh, don't you love your Bible?
Amen.
I heard an old Primitive Baptist preacher up from Kentucky, pastoring in Ohio. He preached on them camels, you know, and they rode on them camels, them ten, and he got to them ten camels, and he preached on a ride, a guide, and a bride. I was fine with all the. I washed his feet, sang without an instrument, and shouted for a month.
Some stuff just don't bother me.
Oh, dear time. Thank God that the Lord sent the Holy Ghost to us.
Yeah.
And Eliezer was that servant. Do you know, if you go back and look in that Genesis 24 sometime, he stopped and had a worship service. He said, the Lord. I, being in the way, the Lord led me.
Sir.
Y'all find that. Genesis 24. It's in the middle of the chapter. Pastor, if you let one of these women beat you, I'm going to be ashamed. Genesis 24. I being in the way. Yet in my worship service. Uh-oh, now I can't find it. Huh? Thank you. We're not going to be outdone by the women preachers this time. It's verse 27. I love verse 26. The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Glory to God.
Amen.
He'll lead you, Brother Crouch. You didn't need to be in Kansas in that position. He's done something for your family. We don't know what it is yet, but he's done it for your boys.
Amen.
He'll lead you. Led you to Maryland. Got your boot camp in. And then God got a bunch of Josh, knocked off of Josh. And then come down here, and God using you. And now the Lord doing some special things. It looks like real special around here. I, being in the way, the Lord led me.
Amen.
Child of God, if you'll just stay in the way, He'll lead you. Said the Lord led me to. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing better than the will of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Ain't nothing like the will of God.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He'll lead you to it. He'll lead you to it. I've been looking at this thing. I picked on y'all the first year. But I said, it is well with my soul. But you know your ass is all the way up there on that it. And all week I've been looking at sit. Rest.
Yes.
Sit.
Amen.
It is well.
Yes, sir. Amen. It's good.
Sit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Sit. It is well with my soul. Thank God you can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Sure.
You know what old Isaac did? He rested in the land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abraham made a journey of faith, but Isaac was that son. And he just rested in the land. I'm closing. Who do we got? Moses. He was brought through the wilderness and brought through a journey, and he got all the way through the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes, sir.
Y'all reckon he was in the tomb? I personally think he's going to be one of the two witnesses.
Yes, sir.
I think it's Moses and Elijah.
Yes, sir.
I've heard all the cases made for the others, and I've made some of them myself.
Yeah.
I always settle back on Moses and Elijah. They're just too much Bible. And they stood there on that Mount of Transfiguration, spoke with him of his decease. You reckon he was in that empty tomb? I read my Bible and it messed up my Easter story. I may have been more Roman Catholic than Baptist. All four gospel accounts give four different stories. I dare you to read them. In one, you got a young man sitting outside. In the other, you got two angels seated on the stone at the head and the foot. In the other, you got the great angel of the Lord rolling back the stone. And one of the Gospels, two men standing inside.
Sure.
Y'all can try to make him the same fellas if you want to. Two angels in one position, a young man in another position, the mighty angel of the Lord rolling back the stone, and then two men standing on the inside. Y'all got a whole year till next Easter to study that. Change your Sunday school lesson.
All we've ever had is two Roman Catholic blonde-haired female angels with wings fluttering around there. That messed me up 3 years ago. I read the four Gospels. Ho, 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 ho. When was the young man sitting on the stone? Not while the angel of the Lord was rolling it.
Yeah, that's right.
And two angels, somebody said, well, a lot of these things are interchangeable. It's possible.
But I read four Gospels with four different accounts.
Sure.
Right. Do y'all reckon Moses made it all the way inside the empty tomb? There were two men standing off to the side, inside the tomb.
Right.
The law and the prophets, the witnesses. You reckon they had to witness the resurrection? And you reckon when the Peter and John ran in, they were so excited studying the napkin, they didn't see Moses and Elijah standing over there? You reckon we had the chief apostle and the beloved disciple in there with the law and the prophets, all four of them at the same time? Brother Dean, you can't prove that. I know it, but you can't not prove it. You can't not. And I'm not being dogmatic about it. I'm not saying that I'm 100% certain that's so. I'm just telling you, them two men standing there off to the side, somebody said, well, they could have been the two angels. I understand that. But I kind of like the fact there was two men standing in there. And here come the chief apostle and the beloved disciple. The man that was going to write Revelation. The man who wrote Genesis in the tomb at the same time. That baby shouted, I wish one of y'all would. That little baby's got a little soul to it. I'm hiring that baby. Hey, baby, can you sneak this bar stool out? Huh? Just prompting y'all to do a little Bible study. I'm wondering if Peter and John, the one that had the keys, the one who's going to write the end of the book, was in there at the same time. The one who wrote the beginning of the book. You reckon there was four in there, since there's four Gospels, there's four mothers of the 12 tribes, that four is the four corners of the earth with the four winds and the four angels. Don't you know there had to be four men in that thing? Woo! Is all that really so, Brother Dean? I'm not 100% sure, but it's going to give me a good night. I'm going to shout all night. Amen! It's quite possible that's how it was. I tend to believe that. I know I can't prove it, but y'all go study your Bible and put it together. Don't you have to compare the four Gospels and put them all together for all the other stories to make sense? That would have put four of them in the resurrection morning outside of Peter and John. And they make six. And here comes Mary, a picture of the bride, an old sinner saved by grace. She completes it with number seven. Hallelujah. She got there after the four, and she had to go get the two. Fellers, could y'all quit being backslid and get out of this upper room? We've been down there 3 days in a row at the tomb. And like any church that dies, there will be more faithful women there than there will be men. Hallelujah. I want us to stand. Our heads are bowed. Somebody will softly make music on the piano. Would y'all like to come around and thank the Lord for the work that He does in the lives of His saints? He'll bring you out. He'll bring you up to Calvary. He'll bring you to the will of God. Bring you through a wilderness. He'll bring you into that holy fellowship. He'll bring you over into victory.
and into the promised land. He which hath begun a good work will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Want to come thank Him, want to come ask Him.